Okay, let's get going here. We have been talking about a series.
Not
specifically just Moon Pie. But we have talked about a series about evidence for
creation, God.
Okay. Evidence for God, not necessarily creation versus evolution or scientific specific evidence. We've done series on those in the past. We've talked about parts of your body and how they work. We've talked about all sorts of things like that. We've talked about electricity, and we've talked about all kinds of animals, and we've talked about carbon dating and uranium dating and tons of different things, okay? So this is a little different. We are looking for the evidence that any one of you might have. It's based in one of our gifts that we have across the board, is reasoning. If you ask the local frog what he thinks about something, he's not going to tell you anything. Because he probably doesn't think about anything much except using his instinct. Okay? And even though Walt Disney has done a fantastic job at creating Bambi and all sorts of things like Dumbo and Flounder and all those things, right? Talking animals that have all sorts of human characteristics, they don't really have those same human characteristics. Mankind was created with reason, all right? But if you start on the evidence and the thought pattern that many people think today, you could say, well, how do you know there is a God? How do you prove there is a God? Why would you even think that? Okay? I don't see any evidence for him. So, these are conversations and patterns of reason that we're saying, if you're going to do this, okay, then you need to be prepared. If you're going to hear these kinds of things, you need to be prepared. So we're going to start with something tonight. We talked about all sorts of things. We talked about law in the past, okay? Law. So mankind has created laws, right? Lots of them. You can't drive until you're 16 years old. Why not?
Because before then, your judgment is not...
Well, how do you know? Some people are 15.
Well, on average.
Some people are 13. Some people shouldn't be driving when they're 40. Maybe. Okay? But mankind has created a law. And he's created lots of laws. That's not necessarily a moral law, that it's immoral before you're 16 to drive, but moral after you're 16 to drive. But there are other laws. Mankind has created all sorts of laws, and he has set things and said, this is wrong to do. Okay? How about murdering somebody?
Yeah, wrong.
Not good, right? And who says? Well, the government said it, right? Put it in. So the government said it, but who cares? If we don't believe in a standard from somewhere, why is it wrong? You can't prove to me it's wrong. You have no purpose behind proving it's wrong. You can't tell me it's wrong because whatever I believe in my own heart, that's wrong for me. Okay? So you start with something. God created an actual standard to say this is right, this is wrong. God in who he is a standard to begin with. And that's why we say, well, murder is wrong. There is no right and wrong without God. Understand that, okay? Think about those things. Reason through those things. Think about that. Is it really real? Well, if you're reasoning this through and saying, that I can do what I want, you can't tell me what's right and wrong, then I can do anything I want. And no one can tell me what's right and wrong. Okay? You have to take the reasoning out to the very end. All right, so here's a question I have for you. So that we talked about last time. Someday, you and I will be lying beneath a pile of dirt. We'll be dead. Even you, Gabe. Someday.
Yay!
Okay. So, my question to you, when you've lived this whole life, whatever it is, if you've lived 15 years, and that would be tragic that you would be gone after 15 years, but if that's what you lived, and died, and were buried, what would you want to be known for? If you lived an entire life and lived 95 years, what do you want written on your tombstone? What do you want to leave behind as somebody knows who you really are? Other than, you know, here lies Evan. Great. Who cares, right?
17 the other day.
Okay. All right. What do you want as the purpose of your life? What would be the best thing that you could live for in this life? Nothing? Never thought about it?
You had a fantastic career.
Okay, you could say something like you had a fantastic career. He changed people's lives, all right? So it could be a career. And what makes it a fantastic career?
Success. Not necessarily make a lot of money, but be successful.
Okay, so you'd want to be known maybe for success. And what would success be? What do you count that as?
That's a good question.
Making a lot of money.
Fulfilling your dreams.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So if you make a lot of money, then what do you want from that with your gravestone? A big gravestone? I don't know.
Or a mausoleum. A bunch of money encased in resin. And then your name carved into it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because you want people to know who you are and know that you had a lot of money, and everybody at the time knew that you had a lot of money.
Okay. So you want to be known. Famous. Okay.
Like John Rockefeller.
Okay, so nobody apparently wants to really just die rich.
I mean, like,
you want something out of this.
Money, like John D. Rockefeller, he was a philanthropist.
So what did he do with his money? That's the question.
He gave it away.
He gave it to people that needed it more.
He built things.
Okay, so he was
public.
So he was known to be giving, right? He was known to have forethought. And what did that forethought do? You said he built things for the public. So what did that do for you or for somebody else?
It made us remember him.
Okay. Yeah, but you don't really care about John Rockefeller, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, I'm sure you do. He's probably thank him every day, no doubt. But what did he do? He did things, right? You said he's a philanthropist, which means he gave things which enriched other people's lives, right? In some way. George Eastman was one of those guys locally here in Rochester, right? George Eastman gave all sorts of money and set up things like Eastman Theater. Anybody know what Eastman Theater is? Which is now Kodak Hall or something like that. It's where the School of Music is. So he said his whole thought was, at the time where he was a wealthy man, only wealthy people got to see musical and theatrical performances. And he said, poor people should get to see them. And so he built a theater right in the middle of the city and said, come and we'll do this either at a very reasonable cost. That's why he did it. He thought he could spread something to enrich other people's lives. Okay, so he wanted to be known for being able to affect other people, to bring other people up a little bit, to help other people with what he did. All right, is that a good goal?
Yeah,
sure.
So what do you want to be known for?
Being kind and honest.
Okay, being kind and honest and genuine.
Ben, oh man, Ben, you win. Okay, there we go.
Kind and honest and genuine. So you've got a desire to be known, not necessarily for money or giving something to somebody, but how you treated somebody. Because that affects other people, right? That's something you can leave behind. If you died today, what would you really want people to know you for? Don't imagine, because today you're not going to build $1 million or $10 zillion and do something awesome. So what are you doing today? What do you want to be known for?
Well, it's my birthday.
Well, it's your birthday, okay. Died on his birthday.
That would be so cool. Right.
Like many, many Jesus.
We would not want to die on your birthday.
Because then you're exactly a set amount of years old, and they don't go, he was this many years, this many months, and this many days. He was exactly this many years old.
They don't do that.
No, just
but if they,
that's fine. So what?
0.76.
Here's the thing. Many people struggle with this, and when you're at this age, you're not thinking a lot about that. Clearly, right? Okay. You're thinking about things that are short term. You're thinking about things like that. But do you want to have a purpose in your life?
Yes.
Some purpose in your life.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one, maybe two people that would like a purpose in their life. Yeah. The rest of people would like to have no purpose in their life.
I would like to have a purpose in my life.
You would like to have a purpose in your life. Oh, fantastic.
And
good.
Everybody has a purpose because God there's no what spare parts.
Maybe
if you weren't part of something,
even
something
the purpose.
In the world.
But here's where you're beginning, and you're saying this, you're including God in the formula. And if people aren't including God in the formula to begin with, then you can't talk with them. Because they say, well, you believe in God. I don't. But you start with, but don't you want your life to have a purpose? Do you think life has a purpose? Should it have a purpose? Are you here for a reason? If you're not, here's a track to begin with. If you began from a single-celled amoeba or some such creature, and by a series of many, many, many thousands of millions of chances, you just happen to evolve into the human race here, then, and it was all just a chance, then you don't really have a purpose. Right? If there is no God, then there's no point to be a human. You're just another animal. Okay, maybe you have this much of a point, that you're somewhere in a food chain, and you eat things, and then your body rots, and they eat you. That's not super fulfilling. Right, right. Because then you have the very same purpose as the amoeba does. You're just here in kind of a machine that happened by chance. If you don't believe in a God that did something, you just sort of appeared and all of scientific things happened and you became this. And it all can be proven, according to some scientists, that this is true. And what's the point of a God? There is no God, so then there is no purpose. You're just here. So why would you do anything good? Why do you want to even worry about it? No point. No thought for this life. Why affect other people's lives? Why do good things? Why bother? There's no point. Without something bigger, there's no point. Now, you guys are in a young and fresh and wonderful part of your life, and you have all sorts of hope that something amazing is going to happen. Okay? In your life. And you really hope, I think, that you're going to be awesome somewhere along the line. You're going to come up. You're going to grow. You're going to do something awesome. It's going to be great. Okay? That's what you hope, I think. I hope you do. But there are people out there, many people, that have lived really difficult lives. We talked about, we just finished, a while back, we finished a series about a man named Jeremiah. Remember the book of Jeremiah?
Ooh, vaguely.
Maybe not. Jeremiah came, he was in captivity.
Means he was essentially a slave.
The Babylonians came, conquered his country, took him and many of his people away, and brought them to Babylon, all of the people in Judah, essentially, and put them in this place in Babylon where they were slaves. They had to be under a foreign government, and they lost their homes and their identities, and they really had very little hope. In fact, the whole point of why it happened to Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. Because really sad and sadder and more sad things happened to Jeremiah. Week after week we looked through things and it was so sad because literally God left them. He came to the edge of the temple, stood on the threshold of the temple and left because no one cared about God anymore. Jeremiah was that sad, weeping prophet with, really, he was just a slave most of his life. What kind of life is that? What kind of purpose is that? Well, let's go and look at something that he said, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 10. Audrey, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, please.
For the mountains will I take up, a weeping and wailing, and for the...
Are you sure you're in Jeremiah 29? Just checking. I might have weeping, but no mountains.
For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years by accomplished at Babylon,
yep.
I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Then you call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you.
Verse 13. You can pick it up, Camden, if it's not. I mean, yeah, Cam. Camry.
And you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search for me in all your heart.
And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be taken away captive.
All right. So here is the one thing that God says to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's got a message. He's lived his whole life as a captive. He essentially has been in a place where he really doesn't have much hope in his life. But God specifically spoke to him directly and said, I know plans I have for you. I have a purpose. I have plans. I have a specific thing for you to do in this life. Most human beings, in fact, all human beings, really desire a purpose in their life. They're looking to be useful. That's typically what people want, to feel fulfilled. Now, there are people that wander aimlessly in life, but they don't feel fulfilled. Okay? Purpose is what he has. Jeremiah has a purpose. And if you really have a purpose in your life, that purpose Jeremiah is having comes from God. God gave it to him. Now, how many of you have heard of the Israelites being enslaved by the Egyptians? Okay? And this was Moses' time, right? And if you were to turn to Exodus, we're not going to look there right now, but if you were to turn to Exodus, you would find out that specifically Pharaoh wanted to do bad things to the people, the Hebrews, to the Israelites, okay? He made their days difficult and hard. He did terrible things to them, and he specifically made their work very hard. And if you were to look, which you would find in Exodus chapter 12, you would find that this happened for over 430 years. 430 years. Which means the first generation's dead and gone. The second generation's dead and gone. Third and fourth generation are dead and gone. There are generations of people that were born in slavery, that grew up in slavery, and that died in slavery, never seeing freedom. That's true in lots of places in the world. Think about Canada. Not Canada. England, Great Britain, or America. Back 200 years ago, we had slavery in America and in Great Britain. 200 years ago. Not that long ago. Okay? There are still countries today that have slavery around the world. Okay? Ours happened to be the majority of slaves involved in American slave trade. The majority of them were from Africa and some of the other places where they, what did they call that? With the, they'd go and they'd trade molasses down in the southern seas there, and then they'd come back up and they'd trade people.
Triangular trade,
there you go. There were generations of people taken from their homes, stolen from their homes, taken to a foreign land, put into slavery, and lived entire generations in slavery. And died, many mistreated, in slavery. So, I want you to take that reasoning brain of yours and say, did all of those people, if they were descended from monkeys or amoebas or whatever it was, okay, if God doesn't exist out there, did all those people live and die in vain? Just by their situation, right? Did they have any control over where they were born? Nope. No control over where they died. Completely spent generations in slavery. And it was a terrible life. If that's all their life was about, what a terrible, sad thing. Were all of those people just with no purpose in their life? Was it just a waste? The whole thing. Did they have a purpose? to think about that. And that's where I'm going with this reasoning to say, if there is no God, then those people had no hope. Nothing. Lots of tough times in this life. Think about other people who have lived terrible lives. Okay, the Jewish people are ones, and we talked about early slavery they were in. But if you go back a couple hundred years ago, okay, or you go into Russia, Russia had something called pogroms, where the Jewish people were persecuted. Okay, you come into America, and the native tribes that were here, persecuted, pushed out of their lands. You go and look at people in the Holocaust in the 40s. 6 million Jews were exterminated. If there is no God, then though man stepped in eventually, there was no point. Then that's a tough place to go to say those people just died in vain. That was it. If God doesn't exist out there somewhere to create a purpose for those people, then their lives were just snuffed and gone. If all you have is a purpose on this earth, just a little bit of something, the ability to touch somebody else's life, if that's all you have as an existence as a human, then all those people lost all their chance. Just gone. But you know something better than that. All right? You know something better. We're going to turn to Paul. One of Paul's books, not Paul, because there's no book of Paul. Second Corinthians first, and we're going to see that Paul lived a life where he had a lot of things where he was mistreated. Second Corinthians chapter number 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. Gabe, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, please. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. 23 through 28. Chapter 11.
23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often.
Okay, so before you go on, this is Paul telling you about the things that happened to him in his life. Okay, he's been imprisoned many times, and he has been through the death of many of his friends and people around him. Okay, and he has had stripes. You know what stripes are? Like slashes that he's been beaten. Okay, with either a rod or a cane, and then he'll continue. Keep going, please.
Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes.
Okay, that is 39 lashes. In other words, there were leather. There were leather things that they had, and they'd put bits of bone and things inside of it, pushing them up into the leather. And it was called a cat of nine tails. And in order to keep the order, the Romans typically used this, and it made you want to follow their laws and whatever they said, because if you didn't, you would have 40 lashes. But they said they gave mercy to you because many people, they were so intense, the 40 lashes, and as they pulled, they ripped skin and ripped your back open, okay, with it. It was intended to hurt and scar you for life, okay? When that happened, many people, when they got to the 40 lashes, the 40th one, actually it killed them because it was just, they lost so much blood, okay? I mean, they were there to really publicly humiliate and destroy people. because that was the best way they could keep order. People were scared to do it. So what they said is, well, we'll give him mercy. We'll give you 40, save one. In other words, we'll give you 39 lashes because we'll bring just short of death. And we'll leave you there. And then you'll remember. Okay? How many times did that happen to Paul?
Five
times in his life. Okay? He's had a pretty tough life. Okay? Keep going. First, where are we? 25.
Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep.
Okay? Beaten with rods. Stoned. Okay? They took stones. Typically what they did was take a large, they'd push you over a cliff if there was one close, and then throw one big rock on you, and then everybody would just pile rocks, throw them right on you. Okay? They dragged him out of the city when they were done with him because he looked dead. But he wasn't quite dead, and he survived to live, to do more things. Tough life. Okay? Keep going.
Journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren.
Okay, people mistreated him no matter where he went. Not only that, he was spent many days out in the wilderness. He also spent a day and a night before it. In the deep. In other words, he was shipwrecked and he basically floated for a day and a half and survived it. Washed up on a shore. Okay? He's had a lot of tough things happen in his life. Keep going, please.
In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in
fastings,
often, in cold and
besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Okay, so here he said, here's what's happened in my life. I've had all of these things happen to me. Tough, hard things. Right? Not just once, not just twice, but my whole journey has been like this. I have lived through many things that I shouldn't have lived through. But I did. And on top of that, the groups of the people that I went around to talk to and tell about Christ, he said, when I did that, that's when I received all this punishment, all these tough things in my life, he said. But when I did that, I had to leave those churches often, he said, and what even hurt more was worrying about them, thinking about them, always having a burden of, did I tell them the right things? Did I talk to them enough? And that's why he wrote these letters. To tell these people more. Okay? Often, many of the letters he wrote were in jail. Okay? Gave him the chance to write, and he sent things out. So, this is what Paul does. And you would think a guy like this would be like, this has been a really tough life, and you either give up, or you... What does he think about it? What does he think about his life? That stinks, right? That whole thing just was really bad. My whole life was really bad. But I'll tell you what he thinks about it. If you turn to 2 Timothy, Paul wrote another letter to one of his close friends. It was a young man, probably about somewhere around 20, 21 years old. Okay, Timothy. And Timothy was a leader of a small group of a church, and this is what he wrote to Timothy. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. This is Paul's thought about his life, how it's all wrapped up.
Therefore, lay up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me
All right. There you go. All right. So, this is what Paul thinks. Life stinks is kind of what he said. But I have something in my purpose. I have a hope. And his hope is totally based on God. Right? God. God that has been watching his situation. God that has been looking down on the tough things that have happened in his life. God that has been carefully making sure that his purpose and his life have meant something. And that God, he said, now when I die, he says, I've been poured out like a drink. Like a drink offering where it's just basically the last drop of me has been poured all out on the ground. All gone. I'm all gone. I've been all used up. He said, but I fought my fight. I ran my race. I finished my course. I did the things I needed to do. And now comes the point of my life. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But I'm happy to move on because I believe that that God is out there. I believe there's something more. Now, you can live your life morally and say, oh, I'm going to do what's right. And if you don't believe that a God is out there, then really there's no point in doing it. Don't bother. Don't bother to do it. But if you do believe that there is a God out there, then seek him. Because he's the only one that gives you a point. You happen to be in a place, and me too, in a good place in this life. We're in a very wealthy country in the world. We don't have slavery in our country. Okay? We are in a place where we've been given education, which was not the case for most of the generations of the world, only save for the wealthiest. Okay? We have an amazing life here. A lot of opportunities, a lot of good things. Not everybody has been given the same throughout all of history. What are we going to do with it? Do we see the purpose that God has for us? If we see the purpose that God has for us, even though we're in a good spot or even in a bad spot, okay, then we're able to live our lives and look forward to something bigger, better, more in the future. While we look towards that, something else that Paul said in there, he said, not only am I going to get a crown, he said, but the Lord is going to judge. The righteous judge shall give me that day. Okay? God is a righteous judge. And in Genesis, there's a verse that says, how could God not separate out the people that are righteous from the people that are evil? If there is no God, first of all, we don't have a purpose in this life. Second of all, what happens to all of those people who have done evil things? Nothing. Right? If God's not there, no one's there to right all the wrongs of the world. All the things that have gone bad. Mankind certainly has not done a good job at making sure we have justice. We have a justice system. We call it a justice system. Sometimes justice is served. Sometimes it's not. But because we believe in a God out there, we believe that there is justice out there in to come. We believe that in the end times, God will set things right. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe in a God out there, then first of all, you have no purpose. And second of all of those people who have lived their lives defying what is right, mistreating people, doing terrible things to people, there's no consequence. So why not do it? There's no point not to do wrong if God's not out there. If God doesn't stand above all of us, if he does not judge us, there's no point. All right? So use your reason and think about that. I'm going to read one passage to you before we go. This is in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. I'm going to read it to you. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment. This is what God says will happen in the end time. If you don't believe it, if you don't believe in a God, then there never will be justice. He will never write things, okay? Because there's no one there to write it. You die, your life's over, no purpose, it's all gone. Verse 11, chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. All right, so there's a picture here, a description of what will be in the end time. This saying God will work and judge every living being, every human being, he will judge. Good or bad, we stand before him and we can't blame it on anybody else. He will know every detail of our situations. He will know our thoughts. He will know where we grew up. He will know the places we've been in, the hardships, and the opportunities that we've had. And he will stand before us and we will answer for those opportunities. We will answer for what we've done. I will answer for what I've done personally. No one else can help me. Except if we have believed in God, if we have believed in Christ Jesus, believe that he has done this, believe that he is out there, believe that he is coming and judgment is coming, we believe that Christ died for us. And he said, then I will write your name in the book of life. And though I stand and judge over you, your name in the book of life will take and blot out the things you have done wrong. Because you'll be covered by Jesus. In order to have true justice in this world, in order to have a point and a purpose to every human in this world, you have to have God. If you have no God, you have no purpose. You have no justice, no point to be here. You're just part of a machine, sort of works it out. You live, you die, it's gone. All right? With God, there's a purpose. With God, there's something much deeper that we live for. And we know because eternity gives us a future. If you lived a whole life as a slave and you just lived and died in slavery and a terrible life and had no future, what a terrible life that would be. But with God, there gives a purpose and a point to existence, right? Something far beyond what we, when people say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, then there's a lot of things that you're giving up if you don't believe in God, all right? First being the purpose of your own life. Why do you think you exist? All right, thank you very much. Have a good day.